Life Notes with Sheldon, where we talk about ways to get off the sidelines and back into the game of life as your best you.
Hello, friends. Thank you for joining me on Life Notes with Sheldon, where we talk about ways to get you off the sidelines, back into the game of life as your best self. Last week, I had Paul Mitchell on, a dear friend of mine, a community leader, a business entrepreneur. The guy is just a wonderful creature. And if you know him, you can attest to that. And, we closed talking about a wonderful, wonderful, inspiring lady, Melody Ivy. And as you know, she was a victim of a horrible thing that occurred. And I just want to give praise to these wonderful people, Dennis and Melody. I didn't realize that they were that connected in our lives, but they were very important in Paul's life. Dennis was my scoutmaster.
Oh.
And I mean, I can't tell you, it's so awesome because, you know, people ask me, and I grew up in a family where we were not active. You know, my dad, he was an accountant and lived in the, you know, he was basically in his cubicle most of the time. And then he came home and just kind of, and it was just who we were. You know, my mom wasn't, I didn't get those opportunities. You know, if I went camping
or
something,
a home person.
It was with friends or family, but this scoutmaster, man, he bought this 15-passenger van and let these scouts trash the crap out of it. I mean, all the time. It smelled bad. It was stinky. It'd come home and we'd unload all the junk in their yard. And his wife was just so great with it, you know. But I can't tell you, people say, hey, have you been to Canyon de Chelly? Or have you been to the Grand Canyon, Havasu Falls? And I say, yes, it's amazing. They say, have you been to Crater Lake? Yes. Have you been to Emerald Lake? Yes, it's amazing. And every time I say that, I thank God for Dennis Ivy and his dedication and his patience. And he did what he did because I saw so many places. You know, I camped out on tops of mountains where I saw stars that made you gaze into eternity, contemplate your existence in a state of wonder that I never would have seen before because of his dedication and sacrifice. And I think Dennis and Melody are a prime example of how you don't have to be rich, famous, inspirational. They were pretty ordinary people.
Yes, they were.
Who made an extraordinary difference. You know, their home didn't have new carpet. And if it did, it became old real quick with all the kids they had there. But it was a beautiful home, had a beautiful feeling in it and that unity. And I sat down at their table at times for lunch and there was a peace there. And they impacted, the impact that they made reverberates today in so many lives in so many ways. And so we were just talking about that. We were talking about saying yes to people. And Paul, you shared a memory of Melody right shortly before she passed.
Right.
Will you share that?
Right. So Dennis was a contractor and I'm a painting contractor. So I'd work with Dennis multiple times and it was always a wonderful experience. And he was semi-retired and to get paid, I'd have to sit with Melody. She controlled the money. And so while we get paid, we just sit and talk for a half hour, an hour, just to sit and talk. And so Melody became one of my favorite people, the sweet spirit that she had. About, I don't know, sometime before that terrible accident, and my sincerest condolences to friends and family of the Ivies and all those who experienced that horrific event. But just prior to that, Melody called me, and it was regarding something. And she got my voicemail, and I, to this day, still have that voicemail. I'm not going to delete it. I love hearing her voice, the softness of it, the sweetness of it. She was inviting me over to come look at something for her, and I'm not going to get rid of it. I love it.
You know, we talk about saying yes, about doing those things, you know, while we have a chance to do them. And my kids went to preschool there, and I'm forever grateful for that. They're changed, and they're better. And they started school ahead of their peers. Not just in reading, but in self-esteem because of what she instilled in them. The love and the kindness is what she taught first. And that's where all of education starts. You know what I mean? You're not educated if you have a PhD. You're educated in how you treat people, how you appreciate life, how you value. That is the real core of education. And she started and taught that. And my son, Jaron, he was just going to... you know, we almost had him go to the preschool thing at the public schools, and I just couldn't do it at the last minute. I'm like, no, we're going to have him still go with Melody Ivy. He's a year older, you know, but we're going to take him and go. And we did the same thing with my daughter in the school. She was too old, but she's like, can Avery come and help? You know, she just loved her presence. She loved our kids. She loved all kids. But Jaron, you know, this was probably a week or two before she passed. And he said, Dad, I miss Melody. You know, I miss Sister Ivy. How's Melody doing? And And I took that moment, and I try to do this, Paul. This is something that I do not randomly, but purpose-drivenly. When I hear someone say something good about someone, I try and call that person immediately. And I don't say, you know what? I just want to let you know you made an impact in someone's life, and they said this to me today.
You've done that to me, so thank you.
Well, thank you. I called Melody that day, and I said, Melody, I just have to tell you, Jaron brought back the best memory of you, and he said that he missed you, and he said he was thinking of you, and it just touched my heart. And she took 10 minutes, FaceTimed him, got on him, and said, look at this butterfly. They talked for 10 minutes on FaceTime, and it was the most beautiful thing, you know, because so many people, they just, they think little kids are cute, you know, and it's like, oh, it's nice to see you. But this is like a sit down face to face. Jaron, how are you? I value you. How have you been? In this 10-minute beautiful conversation that I witnessed between them. And she connected with people on a deeper level, children, you know, she connected with my son on a way that I only hope to connect. You know, it was just like she became a child. And you know, even in the way that she talked, it was kind of almost reminiscent of a child in some way. She really, you know, we talk about Christ's admonition to become like little children. And I don't know a person that's happier or more peaceful than her. And she really did that naturally. But I'm so grateful for that day, because not only did I kind of send her out with one last, you know, badge on her shoulder from someone who appreciates her, but I got to have, it's this mutually beneficial thing where I got to have this kind of closure of one last beautiful experience with her and my son.
I love that. You know, she embodied relationships, and we were talking last week about how today's world is full of chaos and almost hell, and some of the hell that our lives are in are not of our choosing, and some of them are, depending on what the choices we made. And I've come to realize that relationships, true relationships, are part of the things that bring peace, happiness, true joy to our lives. Things that you can take with you to the grave. You can't take things with you, but you can take that relationship with Melody or like that teacher. You haven't forgot Mrs. Giacchino, you know, that your son, Jaron, won't forget Melody and that conversation. And I can't forget my first grade teacher also. People who truly take time to develop a relationship and build you up. I think we need a little more of that in today's society. I think the cell phone and social media has isolated us. And, you know, even as husband and wife, how often do we get in bed and my wife's on the phone scrolling through something and I might be in 2 inches next to her scrolling through something instead of, you know, continuing to develop that relationship. I think the adversary has really tricked us into finding a false peace through false, you know, social media.
Sometimes we marvel about the connectedness of our society and how social media has done that. But it connects very superficially. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We run into people on the street and we're like, oh, I saw you were on a vacation, or, you know, I saw it was your birthday. We never would have known it was this person's birthday before. It's kind of this superficial connectivity, and to have connection and relationships, it doesn't happen in a chat room. It doesn't happen on a post on the thing. Although those things can be meaningful, and I don't want to discount them, it happens when we take an off-ramp of the hellacious freeway that we're all on, you know, so much of our time. We take the off-ramp. You know, it's like going through a new state. You can't drive through the interstate and say you saw a town.
Right.
You know, you see maybe a building of this, but you don't get the heart of the town until you get off and you go on old Route 66. And you pass through and you talk to the people and you go to the diner that wasn't even on the Google Maps that you never would have found otherwise. And you meet this person who impacts your life and you leave her an extra tip because, you know, she probably really, really needs, you know, those experiences. And one of them is Melody Ivy. We were, gosh, it was about this year is so, I just think of her so much. And I always have, because at the end of her school year, we'd go down to the park over by the telephone building and she'd have the soap on a rope. Everyone had to wash their hands and she'd do a little, you know, a potluck thing. She'd do most of the food. Some parents would bring drinks and everyone would go there. The kids would play on the playground. I'd be chasing them around and they'd have a lunch, you know, just to celebrate the end of it. And it was close to the end of her preschool season teaching our son. And I went to pick him up with my wife and we were out getting in the car and she walked us out to the sidewalk there on the side, you know, side of Orchard where you go into her house. And there was this water running down the gutter, you know, somehow in late May, very hot day, there was this water running down. Sure. And my son got those little spinny things, you know, that you throw up in the air and they make the helicopter leaves.
Yes. Just
helicopter leaves. Those are, yeah, what they are. It's probably what the dictionary says. It's what they have to be. You know, it's what else do you know those of? And so he got those and he started floating things down the water. And she tuned into that. She recognized it. And she started doing the same thing, you know, 65 years old. And she takes time and gets down and they start floating down these things down the water. We probably stayed there 15 minutes just talking. And it was just this beautiful experience because we didn't get on the freeway. You know, yeah, my wife and I had things to do. Yeah, the kids were going to be home soon. Yeah, there were probably things at work that needed done. There were probably a million things we could have made up an excuse that were pressing at that time. But now in that memory, I cherish that day and I remember it. Gosh, I just, you ever remember something that just takes you there? Like I can have a bad day and I can go to that place, see that water running and see my son and her floating little things down it. And it's just like, everything's okay. And one of the things that she said to me, Paul, to your credit, she said, you know what, Sheldon, I really appreciate the way you just do things with your kids. You just take trips and you just do these things. You know, I wish we would have done more than that, but I really appreciate that about you. It makes such a difference. And I said, well, let me tell you something. I have a good friend that taught me something once. His name is Paul Mitchell. And he said, you know, if I can give you one piece of advice, it would be just take the trip. Just take the trip. If you're thinking, should I go? Just go. And man, it's such a beautiful day on so many levels. And because we took that off ramp, off of the freeway of life, this hellacious, backed up, traffic filled, polluted freeway that we all think we have to get on every morning and stay on, you know, we hold on to it in our homes. We go home at night, we're thinking about the freeway, you know? And so taking that off ramp is where we have the beautiful experiences of life.
It is. You know, we both run businesses and sometimes people hold us in higher regards than they should think because we're self-employed. They don't realize that we're also sometimes living paycheck to paycheck and that when we're taking a trip, it's not because we have extra money. I mean, that's often usually not the case in my instance, especially when I had five kids at home. We did without. My wife and I made a conscious decision not to buy things. When we bought cars, we bought 20-year-old cars or 15-year-old cars and couches. I think my first brand new couch was probably 15 or 18 years into our marriage, first brand new couch. And I talk to my kids now. All my kids are in college or you know, out of college. And they tell me about all their friends in Aztec. You know, they thought the Mitchells were rich. Mm-hmm. And we were driving like a 1999 two-tone Chevy Suburban, you know, burgundy and rust two-tone. It was all our stuff was old. But because we traveled a lot, people thought we had lots of money. And that's just not the case. So if you think when I say take the trip that is because we have money, we didn't, you know, and people kind of limit themselves. It doesn't have to be to New York or England. It could be to La Plata. Most of the time I took my kids to La Plata, you know, camping and hiking, you know, hiking in purgatory out in that area, just whatever. We never would go out to eat. I remember my kids, someone took them to McDonald's and they were probably 6, 7, 8. And they came up to us afterwards and they said, are your kids okay? They didn't know what to order at McDonald's. My wife and I were kind of embarrassed because we never taken them to McDonald's. They didn't know what to order because they've never been, we couldn't afford it. So people think when we say take the trip, it's all relative, you know, whether it's, you know, to go get a donut every Thursday. I remember doing that with my 7-year-old. That's taking the trip, go getting one donut. And sometimes that's all the money I had, you know, but my kids were, my son would have remembered every Thursday after school, dad took him to get a donut. Developing little traditions like that, that don't cost hardly anything, that's taking the trip.
You know, I remember someone saying we were a fledgling business, maybe 3 to 5 years in business. And the lady said, you know, who drove a Lexus that she was probably making a big car payment on, not to be judgmental, but she said, man, why does your wife drive that old Buick LeSabre? We paid like $4,900 for it. It had low miles, you know, 70,000 miles, had leather seats, lumbar heated seats, a sunroof, chrome wheels. Man, I thought it was the coolest thing ever. Yeah. It was a great car. It was paid for. And it was a long time before we, you know, got into our first, we got a used Honda minivan we bought from Don Reeves in 06. And it was probably, you know, in 2010 or so. We thought we were so uptown. It was like a Starship Enterprise, you know, and used vehicle kind of thing. And you know, we prioritized moments. You know, Neil Maxwell once said, one of my favorite philosophers, leaders, he said, moments are the molecules that make up eternity. And that just stuck with me so profoundly. And you know, you talk about taking the trip. We bought a used vehicle for our business. And so we had to go to Texas to get it. So I flew with my oldest son with me. He was, gosh, 8 years old at the time, maybe. And so we took him, I took him, we flew to Texas, picked up the vehicle, and then we made the big drive across Texas, of course. Well, you know, there's all those little towns.
Yeah.
We got out at almost every little one. We had lunch on, you know, those little courthouses.
Yeah.
We'd go and look inside of them. We talked about how freaky they were because they were these old buildings. They looked haunted, and we talked, everything was a mystery. And we played tag at the courthouse, just him and me, and had this simple lunch on the courthouse lawn. And in this random little town, you know, the drive from Dallas to here, there's all those little towns you just drive through. And I swear we stomped at everyone and looked at the buildings. And of all the things I've done and all the places I've been and any accomplishment that may even be considered one, that's one of the top five things of my life that when I die, it will go through my mind as being one of the best days of my life.
Right.
So simple. You know, just him and I and going through those little towns and just playing tag and eating there and having our little picnic and driving with him, stopping at the gas station. That's magic for kids. Yeah. You know, they get a treat. Yeah. Man, that was one of the best experiences. And I love what you said. It doesn't have to be a big trip. It doesn't have to be a lengthy trip. And 9 times out of 10, your kids are going to remember the little trip you took in the backyard, you know, the camping trip there, and be one of their favorite memories as opposed to the big thing that you, you know, pay thousands of dollars for. So it's so true.
It's never the destination. It's actually the journey. You know, the things that we as parents think that they're going to remember, you know, whether it's the courthouse or, you know, I've taken my kids to Washington or New York City to the World Trade Center Memorial. It's not those places. It's the candy bar that you got there that they remember, or you sat down with them and you, like with Mrs. Ivy, floated down those little helicopter leaves down the creek or whatever. They don't remember, you know, the big thing wasn't the actual destination. It was something off the wall that you would think, you remember that? I don't remember that. You know, it's the time. And, you know, I lost my son a few years ago and he was 16. But because we've spent so much time taking the trip and spending time together as family, one regret I never had was I wish I would have spent more time with my kid, with my son. When you bury a child, and that is a huge regret, there's more things than work or social status or whatever. It's the memories. You mentioned memories. It's the memories of spending time together. So that's why we take the trip.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. How grateful I am just as your friend that you don't have that regret. I mean, how added to the grief and unconceivable grief and pain to have regret on top of that would be almost unbearable. And I'm so grateful today that you don't have that you made those memories. And just want to encourage anyone out there, you know, if you're a grandparent, if you're a scout leader, if maybe you're just a mentor of someone, you know, it can be the neighborhood kids down the street that don't have parents or latchkey, or it can be anyone you can influence spending that little amount of time. You know, I think sometimes we make the mistake of saying, man, I wish I could have taken all. You see these families that take all their kids on a cruise or Hawaii, and people think, man, I wish I could do that. But the grandpa, you know, living on Social Security, who picks up his grandson every Thursday and takes him to the Dairy Queen, has made such an infinite greater impact than that one giant trip that they took. And sometimes we fool ourselves to thinking if it's not big enough, it's not enough. But it's like you said, it's the quality, and it's the time, and it's those little experiences that we don't get if we don't take the time to take the off ramp of this crazy freeway that we put ourselves on.
I heard a statistic saying that developing traditions are more important for some stability, for emotional stability for kids as they become adults, than those families who don't develop traditions. And like one of the ones I mentioned was Thursday, Donut Thursday. You know, that was a donut cost $2, mm-hmm. you know, and that was a tradition. We'd go skiing during the winter and we couldn't afford lunch at Purgatory or anything like that. We'd pack a bagel sandwich and a payday bar, you know, and my kids will always remember Dad's payday bar, you know, and that's what we had whenever we went skiing, 'cause that's all we could afford. And, and just small little things. It doesn't have any kind of tradition that you can start. We talked about, you know, families going through, you know, hell and chaos and, you know, just debilitating, you know, a life because of, you know, circumstances. Little things like traditions will help solidify emotional stability, and they can pull on and remember once you're gone. It creates something in their heart, in their head, that just helps keep them grounded.
That take the trip, take the time. I can't tell you how many timeshare presentations we've been on. We've never bought one, but we always say yes because you get to stay in this resort for like 4 to 5 nights for $200. You know what I mean? You have to go to the 2-hour presentation that sometimes is just horrible, and they'll hard pressure you, man. I mean, it's like the mafia coming down on you, some of these things. We always say no, you know.
That's when you say no to timeshare. That's exactly when you say no.
But man, you know, we just, it gets us away from those things. And being a business owner also, you know, we used to do often little trips. People are like, well, why are you always going out of town? It's like, I could connect so much better getting away from the business, away from those things. I felt like that was when I really connected with my family, really connected with my kids. And it's that whole, you know, taking the off-ramp of the freeway that we have to do. So if I could encourage our listeners to do one thing, it's whatever you're doing on that hellacious freeway of life that we put ourselves on, that we start the morning with and think that we have to run faster, harder, spend more time on in the fast lane, start finding ways to take the off-ramp, because that's where we experience life. That's where we get to have those experiences. That's where we get to put in the meaningful time that in the end is going to determine whether or not we have regrets or not. You know, my good boss at the time and friend for many years, Glenn Gent, used to have a sales meeting every Monday and sometimes in between. And, you know, we used to be so annoyed by his saying, he said that this West Texas guy once taught him, you know, but he said his salesperson, his boss used to always say this, and it's the little things you do that will always make a difference when it's too late to do anything else. And I'm so glad he drilled that into my head, because I tried to make that kind of a life motto. And, you know, it's so true. It's those little things that you do, they're going to make the difference, because one day, it's going to be too late to do anything else, but it's the compounded interest of all of those little things that really make the big thing in life.
I agree. I totally agree with that.
Thank you, friends, for joining us on Life Notes with Sheldon and Paul. Join us next week as we continue this conversation, and I hope you have a great time. If you're driving, take the off-ramp carefully, signal first, and find time to connect off the crazy freeway of life. Thanks, friends. See you next week.
Notes with Sheldon. Listen every week for a brand new note on life. We hope that we have given you a way to get off the sidelines and back into the game of life as your best you.